What does a great leader look like? What are his or her attributes? Integrity, humility, decisiveness, perhaps even just a presence with his or her people. I was blessed in high school to take a couple of courses on leadership. It was really a beautiful thing that I was able to do early on in my life that helped pave the way for the rest of my life up until today. And as a part of those courses that I took on leadership, we studied effective leaders throughout history. We got to read books on them and try to discover what was it that made them good leaders. One of the leaders that I got to study was Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, a name that some of you might recognize. He was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts in sort of the mid to late 2000s when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. And he led them to the Super Bowl 41. They won Super Bowl 41 in 2007. And I read the book that he wrote on his life. And what was really striking about his leadership style is that it wasn't really the mold, or it didn't fit really the common trend when it comes to most head football coaches, in that he wasn't a guy that was going to really chew guys out or really scream at them or be overly mean. Rather, he led in kindness. He led with respect towards his players, certainly holding them to a high standard, but also just being with them. They say that he rarely ever raised his voice to one of his football players. He would just never yell at them. He would say, if I can't motivate you at this tone of voice, then I won't be able to. So he gained the respect of his players and led not by fear, but led by a sense of common union, having a common goal. It can be helpful to think about good leaders today on the solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe, because it can be hard for our sort of modern sensibilities to understand what a good king is. We just don't have that many monarchies in our world, and a lot of the monarchies, a lot of the kings that have been held up throughout history haven't necessarily been the best leaders. And so instead, to think about what makes a good leader and what makes Christ a good leader, our King, we hear in the gospel this conversation that he has with Pontius Pilate, who's really the image, the picture of leadership and power in his day, right? A representative of the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire in the world at the time. And then there's Jesus, already having been beaten, mocked, made fun of. And Pilate asks him, "Are you a king?" And he says, "Well, you say I'm a king." And Pilate says, "Well, your people have handed you over to me. What did you do?" And Jesus, he didn't deny it, but he recognized, "My kingdom isn't of this world," in that his kingdom, his way of leading, isn't like that of the Romans. He's not going to lord it over, but rather he's going to love. He's going to lead with mercy. He recognizes the reality of his kingship, that for this purpose I have come. But that, right, if his kingship was of this world, there would be violence. They would be trying to defend him in this moment of need. And then in just a few verses after what we read, Jesus is scourged, crowned with thorns, and again mockingly clothed with a purple cope, a purple kind of robe around him. And Pilate brings him out in front of the angry mob, and he says, "Behold the man. Ecce homo, behold the man." Behold the man who can relate to each and every one of us, who we can relate to, the man who has experienced everything that we experience, anguish, suffering, but also joy and peace and laughter throughout his life as well, the man who is the prototype of all of us, who is the man that we all are made in the image of. And I think at the end of the day, what we want from a leader, what we want from a king, is someone who's going to be with his people. Think about the good leaders in your life. Tony Dungy certainly would have lived this out, that he was in the trenches with his players, gaining their respect, earning their love for him, such that they would do anything for him. This is an imitation only of Christ our Savior, Christ our King, Christ the greatest leader, because he's experienced everything that we've experienced, that he's with us in the midst of everything we do, such that when we suffer, we don't suffer for him, but we suffer with him. When we rejoice with him. When we're frustrated, even he's with us in our frustrations. And he can be that way with all of us at all times, which is so unique compared to leaders in this world who are kind of constrained by space and time. So I encourage you, as we come to the end of a liturgical year, we'll begin the new liturgical year with the first Sunday in Advent next Sunday, look back over this year and try to think of times when you've really recognized him, Christ our King, Christ our great leader. Think of the times that you've noticed him with you, perhaps in moments of suffering, perhaps sharing his passion, but also try to identify some moments of joy as well, moments when you've experienced his resurrection as well, the fact that his death on the cross wasn't the end of the story, but that he conquered death, rose from the dead, offering us new life. So examine your year and maybe ask for that grace to see him as we approach him. He who is with us at all moments makes that abundantly clear when he comes to us each and every week here at the Mass in the Eucharist with his real presence, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so we come here seeking to recognize his presence in our lives, knowing that he certainly is with us, and ultimately rendering him, offering to him the greatest glory and honor and praise that we can give to our great King, to our great leader. And so glory to him forever and ever. Amen.